We are not hopeless. There's nothing that God can't redeem. As a child, I didn't know what was acceptable or not acceptable, okay or not okay. And so I began to experience these things at a very young age where I would be tormented by what I would call like these dark things, and I would be protected by what I understood to be the light things. There were moments where my room would actually feel like filled with dark things, and then the light beings would, the beings of light, as I experienced them as a child, as I knew them, they would come in and they would push out the dark things, and then they would usually come close to me so that they could fill me with their light. They would touch me and I would be filled with this peace that I don't know from anywhere else. And now I recognize as a Holy Spirit coming into relationship with God. My parents didn't really understand or know how to handle this, and psychology made sense. I moved through these series of diagnoses that went anywhere from OCD all the way up to manic depression. And it's around that time that I stopped believing in God, because if everything you're experiencing is a hallucination and the world is a dark and terrible place, it's hard to believe in a good God. And you know, if all these are hallucinations, then why isn't God a hallucination? I didn't understand people who said, like, life isn't suffering or there's joy, because all I did was hurt all the time. And so my life went super downhill. I just didn't want to live anymore. And there were a few breakthrough moments where, like, I was really, like, just fighting to stay alive, or I was very suicidal. And my sister, who had been going to Crossroads for years, so I heard this story about a God who loved me before I loved him. And so I started to run after God, like full sprint after God. People in my community started to be like, hey, they were talking about this thing called prophecy, and they were talking about things that I had experienced and thought was a sign of illness. I started to see myself not as this broken, cursed person with darkness fused to them, and really started seeing myself as like, made in the image of God and given authority over the darkness and walking in the light, and it transformed my journey. Because I started seeing these things when I was really, really little, I gave language to what I now understand are our angels and demons as these beings of light, and the dark things, like the dark beings. And so I actually didn't believe my father when he talked to me about angels. And it wasn't until I started to look at scripture and understand, oh, like God sends angels to talk to people, and he sends angels to protect people. And like, these are his messengers. And so this makes sense. And the way I see the enemy and like demons playing out in the Bible, this all makes a lot of sense for what I've experienced and witnessed and struggled through. And so I understand now like what, like there's a biblical foundation for my experience. And if you had told me 5.5 years ago today that I would be where I was now, I'd say that you were crazy and that I should be institutionalized. I understand a lot of the stigma that comes along with some of the things I'm talking about, both with like the mental illness and also just talking about the spiritual realm. But I have never been happier, more free, more full of peace than I am right now.
All right. That is a lot of deep stuff there. That's a lot of odd stuff. That's a lot of maybe strange stuff. We're going to be talking about that today and over the next few weeks. And I want to push you a little bit, and I want to challenge you and encourage you to open up your mind, open up your heart to some different ways of seeing things. And before I go any further, let's pray right now. God, I am thankful that there's more than what meets the eye. I know that this life is not all there is. This world is not all there is. What I can see and perceive is not all there is. And I know you're bigger and beyond and outside and inside all of that. Help me to be helpful today. Help me to point folks to you, and help all of us to have our hearts grow bigger because of whatever you may put on our mind tonight, this morning. I pray for that in the according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. So, why do we go into a dark room and feel like a little freaked out? Why does that happen? Why does the hair stand up on the back of our necks every once in a while? Why is the genre, movie genre, horror movies or something that deals with the occult in Hollywood going up, but we can't get enough of horror movies. Why is it that when we go to our Facebook feed, we see more and more people we know or friends of people who we know who are offering their services as a medium or as somebody who can get in touch with somebody who's the dead? Why is it that tarot cards are on the rise and you can still make a living even in the midst of an era which is supposedly supposed to be more and more scientific where we're not supposed to be into these kind of things? Why is there the interest in this? It's because you and I have seen and felt and tasted something, or someone we know has seen and felt and tasted something beyond what we can see and understand, or you want to. Because the Bible says that God has set eternity in our hearts. We want more than just like our feet and the ground to walk on and trees and things that we can understand in a geography class. We have a thirst for something more. We yearn for something more. This is why no matter how much science seems to be progressing, at the same time, so does our belief in the spiritual and the transcendent or something that is outside of science. Actually progressing more, as I'm going to share in a little bit, maybe actually goes hand in glove with actual science. 71% of all Americans believe in miracles. 42% of Americans believe that ghosts exist. 41% think that ESP, extrasensory perception, is possible. 29% of people believe in astrology, that the stars can tell us something. Nearly three-fourths of all Americans believe in something paranormal. That is something that's alongside of the normal. Why? Why? Because we're having real experiences, or people we know and trust, they say they're having real experiences, or we simply want a real experience because, as the Bible says, God has set eternity in our hearts. This isn't enough for us. It's not enough for us. We want more. We thirst for more. And then, of course, when we come down with a bad diagnosis or a friend does, you bet your bottom dollar we're believing and wanting something that's beyond what only science can offer. We're looking to tap into something. Lawrence Samuel from Psychology Today says this: most curiously, perhaps, the supernatural in America has increased in both volume and importance over the years rather than diminished. Given the ascent of science and technology over this same period of time, this is surprising and intriguing, as all expectations were for the logic and rationalism of the 20th century to crush the mystical and superstitious ways of the past. Instead, however, the supernatural has run on a parallel course with science and technology, the two seeming to feed off of each other. The more we go down the scientific and technological rabbit hole, the more we appear to need the supernatural. In other words, the primitiveness and the universality of the metaphysical satisfying some sort of basic human drive. Because it is inherently timeless and cross-cultural, the supernatural may once again emerge as our dominant religion. I believe our desire to explain the explainable to get only that more intense in the 21st century. The lines between faith and science have been very defined and sometimes acrimonious, not so much so anymore, not necessarily so anymore. Why are you always judging me because I believe in science? Nacho Libre, come on. That's a great movie, Nacho Libre. How do you always judge me because I don't believe in science? Yeah. It's interesting that as I see some of the things that are happening in science, I can see the way it fits into the idea that there is a different realm outside of what you and I can see. There's a different operating system. There's different entities. There's different possibilities that are beyond what you and I can actually perceive. Scientists are talking more and more about the fourth dimension, a dimension that you and I can't see or perceive, a dimension that we understand by math. I mean, none of us have ever seen or tasted an atom. No one did, especially before the World War II. But they knew it existed based on math. And based on that, they were able to understand truth. And they split the atom, and they ended World War II. even though no one had ever seen it, ever before. No one had ever seen it. No microscope could see it. Similarly, math is leading scientists to say, no, there's another dimension. There's another realm that exists. One of the more popular scientists of our day, Neil deGrasse Tyson, actually one of the best communicators as a scientist that's around right now. He was on a podcast, and he talks about the fourth dimension in this way.
By the way, in all fairness to movies, I'll call out something that's good, a movie got right, that otherwise got no science right. I'm the first in line to do that.
Like what?
In the movie Monsters, Inc. Oh my gosh! You didn't think I was going there, did you?
No.
Those doors were four-dimensional portals to another.
That's possible.
Well, if you had four dimensions, that's what it would look like. Do you remember the movie?
Yes.
They take the doors home.
Yes.
They open the door, and they're in the closet of the kid that they're going to terrorize.
Yes.
That's a wormhole. That is what access to the fourth dimension looks like.
Do you think scientifically that's possible one day?
I hope so.
Really?
Because here's the example. We've got a nice broad desk we here at this interview, right? So desk is two dimensions. It's got length and width. And I can start putting papers on this desk, and I can lay them out mosaic style. And then all of a sudden, I have no more room to put a sheet of paper. If I'm an ant living in this surface of the desk, I say, no more room. But wait a minute. We are three-dimensional people. And I can put an organizer and stack things vertically. So I can take a sheet of paper, and now I can put it higher up than the surface of the desk. The ant will say, where did it go? Oh, my gosh, it disappeared in some portal. Where? No, what is that? It went into the third dimension, and the ant bound to ant obviously is a three-dimensional thing.
Right.
Imagine it only lives in two dimensions. You would have made that paper disappear into a third dimension, and it will have no clue where it went. Because you had a portal. You had access to that extra dimension. So look at how much you can store on a desk when you have access to a third dimension above it. Vastly more than just papers mosaicked out on the surface. So now let's up this example by a dimension. You're storing boxes in a room. Oh, I ran out of room. No, you didn't. Let's open this four-dimensional door. You open it, put the boxes through the door, close the door. Box is gone.
That'd be awesome for hoarders.
You look around the other side of the box, right? the door, there's nothing there.
Right.
Your side of the door, nothing there. It's just a door. That is a portal to a fourth dimension that can hold vastly more content than what you're stuck storing in the three-dimensional space of your room.
Now, that
that's a brilliant concept. And even though it has monsters that don't exist, that all speak English, and one of them is a cyclops, and one of them is I'm not judging the biophysiology of these creatures, but they got the physics of four-dimensional portals completely accurate.
Now, when I first heard this explained, I was turned on to it by a guy who had actually come into relationship with God, came to see Jesus as God himself, watching an atheistic scientist describe the fourth dimension. You can see it on YouTube. Just Google Carl Sagan fourth dimension, and you'll see something I'll recreate for you because I'm a better communicator than Carl Sagan, and he's dead. He can't talk to you anymore. But here's how he described it, which is fascinating. He said, imagine here we are on flatland. Flatland. It's the land of two dimensions. You can go forward and backward. You can go left and right. Here in Flatland, we have all kinds of entities that only know each other on the same plane. They have their nice little house. Oh, here I am, Mr. Triangle. I want to have a cross-shaped relationship with you. They come in and they interact with each other, and they're all as good. This is all they know, these two dimensions. And then imagine if on this plane of existence comes another object from a different plane. Let's call that object an apple. And that apple is doing what it needs to do, but these guys can never understand this apple because it's on a different plane. Now, when that apple comes in, were that apple to come into this plane of existence, whatever would be on that plane, those flatlanders will be able to understand. So if I take out a little bit of a I take out my ink pad here, and I take my apple, and I put a little ink on it, as the apple comes down, that's what they would know. Oh, look, we have five little entities here. If the apple continues to go farther down and comes in as it slices the apple, they see more and different parts of it, because these two-dimensional creatures are now experiencing a slice, just a slice of something from another dimension. This is what it's like for you and I in the third dimension. Up, down, left, right, forward, backward. If we were, this illustration is the two-dimensional, is what the fourth dimension is to you and I's third dimensions. We can't, these entities have no ability to understand this thing up here. They can't see, they don't understand at all. Only when it intersects, they go, ah! That's what it's like for us in understanding the fourth dimension, or what I am referring to in this series as the spirit realm, because I believe the fourth dimension may be the spirit realm, or the various numbers of heavens I'm going to talk about in just a moment. My friend turned me on to this because when he saw Carl Sagan, he said, I understand God for the first time. I get it. Because this apple is Jesus. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was not made. We think that Jesus came around in the first century when Christmas happened. He was the first Christmas. He came into entity and came into being when He was born in Bethlehem. That's not when He came around. The Bible is very clear that He existed on a different plane, in a different dimension, way, 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 way before the earth. And when He comes down, He understands, oh, they understand God. We understand, at least the sliver they can understand of God on their own plane. For 3 days He dies, for 3 days He goes to another plane, the plane of Hades, same realm, but a different bad place, resurrects, and now He's on a different, back on the other plane right now. He's in what's known as heaven. There's actually in the Bible, there's three heavens. The first heaven is known as what we see right here in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. Heavens are everything in the atmosphere, the sky. The biblical writers would say, look up in the heavens. There's that kind of heavens. Another kind of heavens in the Bible is the heavens of the stars, the astral objects. They could see those suckers. They're like, those things are out there. That's the heavens. That's a different kind of heavens. And then they refer to what's known as the third heaven. The third heaven is the spirit realm that they can't see. The place where you go to be forever and ever. The place where God is right now in all of His fullness. In the Bible, the New Testament, much of the New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul. And here's what he says. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. It's believed that the Apostle Paul is talking about himself, this man. He's just trying to be humble. And he's talking about he went to a third heaven. It sounds like a near-death experience here. Did he die and see the near-death experience we hear so many people talk about? Is that it? Was he in prayer or something? And God transported him someplace else. He didn't die. And he saw something that was outside of Damascus, outside of Jerusalem, outside of the Middle East. We don't know. All we know is he saw something that was in a different dimension, a totally different reality. Now, three big ideas I want to talk about today. First is this. God deals with all of us differently. What's going to happen as we go through a series is some of us are going to go, oh, yes, yes, this is what I've felt. This is explaining things that I felt before. And others of us are going to go, man, I don't see things like this. I don't feel things like this. I mean, it'd be pretty cool if I did, but why is this person over here apparently having these spiritual experiences, whether or not they're, you know, fourth dimension or not, I don't know, but they seem to be having these kind of transcendent feelings. I don't have it. Why is that? Does God not love me? Does God not care about me? I don't know. I don't. I do know He loves you. I do know that. What I don't know is why do some of us get some things and some of us don't get other things? I don't know. Why is it some of us are going to have a great spouse and others of us are never going to be married? And some of us are also going to have an awful spouse. Why is it? I don't know. Why is it that some of us are going to be able to have two homes at a time and others of us are never going to not rent? Why is it that some of us have the ability to speak from stage and not get freaked out about it? Others of us have other spiritual gifts like having dreams, saying things that God wants you to say, all kinds of prophecy. We're going to talk about that in a couple weeks. And I don't have those things. I don't have that. Some of you have dreams all the time. I don't have any dreams. The only dreams I have is when I've had really bad pizza and stale beer right before I've gone to bed. Then I have dreams. I've never had a dream where I woke up and went, oh, yeah, God just talked to me. At least I don't think so. I've had some freaky ones. God deals with all of us differently in a different way. I was getting a bit bitter that I wasn't having experiences that I was reading about in the Bible and that other people I knew were having. And I was getting a bit bummed about it. I'd been walking with Christ at that point for about 20 years. I came to know Christ when I was 15. This was about when I was 35, five years into CrossRoads. And I had no doubt about the miraculous power of God. I sensed God, all that stuff, but things that were like really cool, sweet, faith-building experiences, I wasn't having. I look back on right now and go, I don't know, maybe I didn't have any then, or I'm not having as many now, because that's how faith is built. It's called faith. So I call Christian science mathematician tables. It's called faith. There's a level of faith that we need to build and stretch. And if we have like all these crazy things happening every day, then there's no faith there. I don't know why. I'm just surmising on why God wasn't giving me things that he seemed to be giving other people. Let me feel and see things that he seemed to be letting other people see and feel. So one summer I went away. I go away every summer for an extended period of time. This summer is a little bit different. I've got an odd summer, so I'm going to be in and out for this whole summer. But I've kind of gone away for a big chunk of the summer to clear my head, reconnect with family, drill down some things I need to drill down on. And where I go is wherever somebody give me a free place to stay. That's where I go. That's my favorite three letters, F-R-E, free. So this year I've spent a lot of time. A friend has a house down in Tennessee on a lake. Spent a lot of time there the last few years. Before that, there was another guy I knew who had another house he didn't use very much down in Key Largo, Florida. He let me go with the family and just stay there. It was pretty sweet. So this year while I was there, one of the verses that I kept chewing on and thinking about was a verse where Jesus says, you will be able to step on scorpions, pick up snakes. God's going to have an amazing power in you because there's a different dimension. Here's what Jesus says in the book of Luke, chapter 10. He equips, he prepares the people who are close to him. This is 72 people he's trying to build into spiritually. And he's trying to prepare them for when he's gone. He's trying to get them to be strong spiritually and to learn how to encounter things that are outside of the normal course of day-to-day life. And so he would send them out to do praying and all kinds of stuff like that. Here's one of the stories. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. A lot of stuff going on here. These people come back and say, my gosh, Jesus, we're praying just like you, and like crazy stuff is happening. Jesus goes, man, I'll tell you what, I saw Satan fall from heaven. I saw him fall. Now, what's he saying? Is he saying like, oh, I saw Satan's ankle in a shooting star, and I saw it go over here, and I saw, you know, Satan's gonad kind of shooting over here, and that was a shooting star, or one of them anyway, and I saw, well, is he saying this? No, I believe what he's saying is he's operating for 33 years, mostly in this plane, but he's aware of things that are in a different dimension, and I believe he sees that his enemy, the evil one, who exists on that same different plane, not in the same level as him, but in the same spirit realm, saw delivered a body blow to him. He saw that. He's referring to this. He says, you'll be able to tread on scorpions and snakes. Some people take this literally, meaning, and you see people I think are crazy and off the rocker, picking up poisonous snakes in church services, call them snake handlers. Like, it's a bad, stupid idea that's tempting the fate of God. I don't think it's, I think it's stupid, and I think you're stupid if you do that. And you can tell them I said, I think they're stupid. Nonetheless, this verse is here, and it means something, right? And so this summer I'm on my way, I'm just pondering it, I'm thinking about it, I'm asking, God, why am I not seeing more? Why am I not feeling more? I would love to experience some of the things that other people are experiencing. What is going on here, God? So I'm sleeping one night, and I get up in the middle of the night, and I need to go relieve myself. Not an unusual occurrence. Done that a number of times. So I get up this night, and I go in the same bathroom, this Florida place down the Keys. I've been in nothing unusual about this, going in. I've been in this bathroom for many, many years ongoing. Probably hundreds of times I've been in this bathroom. It's the first time walking in this bathroom at night. I walked in and I felt something. I was like, something is here. I could feel something was there. So I turn on the light, and I look down. Never ever seen before ever is a scorpion right there on the ground right beside me. Never been in that house for a long. Never saw a scorpion there. Now you would think I would have crushed it with my bare heel, wouldn't you have? No, I didn't do that. I went and got a towel and beat it to death is what I did. I killed it. I've been meditating on this verse. I felt something. I felt it. I've not done that, but I felt it. There was something in that room, and I saw it. So what I did, I got that thing, and I came home, and I got it set in acrylic. This is it right here. Got it set in acrylic, and it sits in a room. It sits in a room where I prepare myself before I speak at Crossroads. And every time before I come out to speak, I put my foot on that scorpion, and I pray that God would crush anything that's not of him inside of the room or inside of any rooms that are going to be hearing and experiencing the service. I pray for his spirit to overwhelm you. I pray for clarity to come, and I pray for a crushing of the evil one that wants to beat you down and snatch away any truth that comes. I pray, and I've done that. I've done that every single weekend since I was 35 years old when that took place. Because it reminds me in the physical realm, when I put my foot on this thing, it reminds me in the physical realm that there are spiritual realities that are taking place. And since that's happened, my gosh, there has been a whole bunch of things that have been taking place in my life. Second thing I want to say is, as I'm talking about these, I'm going to talk about some of my experiences right now. You have to understand, not only does God deal with all of us differently, but God doesn't owe you anything. What starts to happen is we get a level of bitterness. Well, how come they get that gift and I don't? How come they got to feel that? How come they saw that? We start to get, and we feel like God, no, God doesn't owe you anything. Doesn't owe me anything. And by the way, it's also called a miracle, which means it doesn't happen that much. If it happened all the time, then that's just normal standard procedure. No, it's called a miracle for a reason. If it was something you could fully understand and everyone had access to it, then it would be on the plane that we all operate on naturally. We're talking about tapping into a different realm, tapping into a different dimension. I think it was that same summer, and some of these stories you've heard before, I'm just going to try to stitch them all together for you. I think it was that same summer. If it wasn't that same summer, it was the next summer where I got another taste of the spirit realm. And actually, many of you in here, you've had a taste of the spirit realm, you just haven't known it because you've been quantifying it differently. For instance, how many of us at all of our Crossroads sites right now, raise your hand if you should be dead. If there's a time where you should have been taken out, you should have died, I can't believe it. Just raise your hand if that was you, okay? I've got my story like that. I should have been dead on him. It very well may be that you had an experience with the spirit realm. Here was mine. I'd rented a motorcycle out in Montana. I was with some buddies. We were cruising through, and I decided they were going too slow, so I took out ahead of them. I say I was going 70. I was probably going faster. I was going 70 miles an hour. I don't know where a deer comes, jumps in front of me. I go right through the deer. I split the deer in half. I go down the highway 60 yards, 60 yards down the highway. No broken bones, not a mark on my face or head, and no helmet. Somehow, in God's prayer, I wear a helmet about 50% of the time. This day, no helmet at all. You tell me how you can go 70 mile an hour plus with no helmet on, and in God's perfect geometry, you come over and land perfectly to disperse your body, and you roll all the way down the road. Now, that's mine. And you know how that probably happened? That happened through what the Bible refers to or is describing as guardian angels. There are angels on the third heaven. These are known, some of these guys are seraphim and cherubim. They're described in the Bible. Then there's also angels that are operating on this realm. We can't see them, but they're influencing this realm and influencing you. In the book of Hebrews, it says this: are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Not everybody has an angel. Not everybody does. Only those who to inherit salvation. Not everyone does. Jesus talks about this. If you want to read it more, I got so many Bible verses, I can't give them all to you today. But if you want to read on your own, Matthew 18:10, you can go there. Also, Acts 12:15. This is an interesting one. We have the Apostle Peter, who's in prison, and a miraculous thing happens to get him out of prison. He goes to a house to show up to where his friends are. He knocks on the door. They open the door. They have no expectation of seeing him at all. There's no way he can be out of prison. And they see him, and they say, oh, it must be his angel. Can't be Peter. It must be his angel. I believe, and the only rational explanation for me, because I defy you to find anybody who's ever had that happen before, is angels were like, I don't know how many of them were, I don't know what they were doing, but like, I don't know, they're making sure my body falls perfectly. Are they pushing me to make sure I go right down the center of the road? It's tree-lined road. How do I go down the center of the road and not go to the side and smash into a tree and have internal bleeding and die? How is it that no cars are coming on this busy road? No cars are coming the other way. Where if the cars come the other way, I don't know what's going on there, but something's going on. Something's going on, and you very may well have had things go on in your life you're not even aware of. It's not coincidence. May not be coincidence. Maybe the very hand of God that is on your life. As I look back on it, there's a lot of things that I just kind of pawned off to whatever that, no, well, something happened in a different dimension. God happening and interceding for me. Libby and I have been married for 30 years, and she was dating a real dirtbag before she dated me. Just a bad, bad dude. And she had, this older woman said, you know, I was praying for you, and I think God wanted me to tell you, you're going to marry somebody who's in ministry, and you're going to do a lot of traveling. And she's like, no. That wasn't part of her life. And what do you know? We got married sometime later, met and got married sometime later, and that's exactly what's happened to her life and what's happening to us. Early in our marriage, we had a fire. It burned everything we owned, took everything away from us, and we had no renter's insurance. While that fire was going, that same woman woke up in the middle of the night, and she heard God say to her, however she would hear it, Libby will come through the fire, but she will be burned, or she will be saved. She found out about it the first thing in the morning, and she came over and visited us, and she said, I got something else to tell you, too. She said, I feel like, because we had nothing. We were out and had nothing. We owned nothing and no way to recoup anything we had. He said, God's going to give you back double what you lost. I was like, that'd be nice. Well, you know, he did exactly that. We had people who owned a furniture store, given us furniture, and other people. We got double, and I still have today in my house that furniture. My family's like, oh, get that furniture out, stupid, it's ugly, get that out. I'm like, no, this is like personal to me. This is a thing, a movement of God, a provision. I don't care how ugly it is. We got that stinking corner cabinet as long as I live. crazy stuff that like, one time I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden I get this thought out of nowhere. I'm like, that's the kind of thought that God would give me, and that would take faith to really act on it. I went on and said, there's someone in this section who's got an arm issue. I'm supposed to pray for you. What do you know? Some guy comes up and pray. I never know him before and interact with him sometime later. Actually, saw him in a video, and his name was Frank. And it was Frank, and his arm is, I bumped into him. We were getting our hair cut at Great Clips several months ago. Bumped into him, how's the arm? Great, man. It's great. It's like, phew. By the way, this is none of this is me. Because I prayed for a lot of people before, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. And so when something happens, it's like, okay, no, God's doing this. It's all God. It's all God. Praying for somebody one time, and they couldn't see the flat screens out in the Crossroads atrium, and they walked out for the first time they could see the screens after they got prayed for. That was a few months ago. I was praying for somebody who had a mass, and they come up and asked for prayer, so I put my hand on them, and I was praying. I said, I went, do you feel heat right now? Do you feel? Yes, I do. Okay. I'm thinking they could be sweating because of contact, or I don't know. I hadn't felt that before. Okay. Find out they go into their procedure, and they've already had the MRI that shows the mass, and they go in, and the doctor's like, what we thought was there is not there. This is odd. Just not there. Now, these things are rare, very rare, but they're very real. They're very studyable. It's for real. It is. One time I was on my back deck, by myself. My wife wasn't there. I was just hanging out my back deck. It was late at night, and boy, I got a lot of peace stories today. This is another peace story. I get up, so I got to go take a whiz. So I get up, I go inside. I go inside, and the whole house shakes. Like, jeez. I thought that corner camera I just talked about had fallen down and broken all the dishes. It was really odd. And then my son yells out to me, he's like, Dad, are you okay? What's going on? And I find out my neighbor had this massive tree, and it had fallen on the house exactly where I was sitting on that second floor deck, and I had not taken a whiz, I would be dead. Now I'm like, okay, what's going on there? I mean, there's a spirit realm here, okay? Something caused that tree to fall. If it's a spirit realm thing, there's opposing forces, perhaps. And there is. I'm going to be talking about that this series. Not all things in the spiritual realm should be sought, adhered to, believed, or gone after. Just because it's spiritual doesn't mean it's good. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and following, it says this. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Just because it's spiritual doesn't mean it's good. I'm telling you right now, if you're on the tarot cards, you're in a bad spot. Oh, but she's a nice person. She's of the evil one. I want to be clear about that. She's not going to give you life. She's not going to give you life. There could be some interesting things. She's not going to give you life. Great, beautiful people who have a nice aura, a light about them. This says can be operating on forces that are opposing God. Now, I'm getting some deep stuff here right now. Are you hanging with me? If you're going to come to a series called Spirit Realm, we're going to go there. Not everything in the Bible and in life, not everything in the Bible and life is easily digestible, is easily hugged onto. I'm trying to make this as user-friendly as possible. I'm just telling this is real. If this is real, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you've experienced it or not, I'm telling you this is real. And maybe the reason why our life feels so hopeless and so run down, we're just in the weeds and we're mired, is because we're only living on this plane. We're not hoping for a different plane. We're not praying for whatever is in a different plane. We're not looking forward to it. We're not trying to get the values as it is on earth, make it be in heaven. As it is on heaven, make it be on earth. We're not aligned there because we're only thinking here and comparing ourselves to one another. We have no idea what influences us here on a different realm. No idea. A lot of us have kids that we educate and feed in Nicaragua through Compassion International. And we also have it in Bolivia, a bunch of kids in Bolivia. And in Nicaragua, if you've been following the news, it's like, my gosh, political upheaval. It's just bad, 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 bad. So what's political stuff that's on this level? Versus, is there some other interference that is just trying to mess with our kids? that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And I don't know, but what I do with that, I can't do much physically in Nicaragua, but I can pray. I can pray. And actually, we're going to do that right now. I'll show you how this all. Let's pray right now for the kids that we support in Nicaragua. God, I just pray for a special support on them and their families. I know that you have angels that protect those who are called into your family, and we are trusting you're protecting those kids. And God, we don't want any more political upheavals in Nicaragua. Calm it down, God, and have your way reign in that country. Do your business there, God. And I pray these things according to your name. Amen. Amen. So as I'm praying that, I'm wanting what's happening in the physical realm to take place, but I'm calling on something that's outside the physical realm. This is not just my thoughts are there. I'm actually encouraging God and asking God to send resources. And oftentimes, that's exactly what he does. The third thing and final thing I want us to wrestle with is, well, I'll read the verse first before I tell you the third. Matthew 6, verse 5 to 6, says this about Jesus. He could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Wait. He could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on some sick people and healed them. Sounds like a mighty work to me. But it's not the greatest work that God does. The mightiest work God does when someone comes into relationship with him. That's the greatest work he does. When someone receives Christ, that's the greatest work that he does. That's the third and final thought. The greatest miracle happens when we receive Jesus. Maybe this is why there's so many spiritual things that may happen with seers and tarot cards and everything. Is because the evil one doesn't care what kind of interesting spiritual experiences you have. All he cares about is you don't know the one that will truly give you life, and that's Jesus. All he cares about is to have you sidetracked from being united with your maker. And he'll give you addiction to do that. He'll give you millions of dollars to do that. He'll give you heartbreaking relationships. He'll give you, for some of us, an amazing relationship, so we love the current relationship. Someone will never think of an eternal relationship. He'll do anything that he can to keep you away from eternal forgiveness, keep you away from eternal oneness, to keep you away from understanding an entirely different realm that can quench and satisfy your soul, the truths therein, in a way that a pay raise will never do. Never, ever, ever do. Some of us right now, maybe you want something more. Maybe you want Jesus right now. If you're here right now, any across your location, and you have never received Jesus, and you want him right now, how about doing something? How about raise your hand? If you want something, if you want to receive Jesus you never have before. We have everyone here? Anyone here? Anyone? Okay, there we are. Yes. Okay, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to give you one more piece of information. Let me pray for you right now. God, I thank you for the miracles that are about to receive you today. It's the greatest thing that you do. Bring us into relationship with you, God, right now. And if you're going to receive him, just say this right now. Just pray this. Jesus, I want you into my life. I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me for my sin. And as best as I can, I will follow you the rest of my life. Amen. Man, it's good stuff right there. You have just opened up an entire wormhole to life. An entire new thing. You know, we're going to be, I have all kind of stuff I had to cut on the fly. I'm pretty amped about this. I left about 25% of my material on the iPad. I'll hit that up in future weeks, hopefully. But I just want to say this. When we leave here, we've got a new thing we're doing, a new podcast. It's called Spirit Stories. It's hard to argue with somebody's story. And we just strung together a bunch of folks in our community we vetted as trustworthy people. There's some wacky people who want to tell their story. We just went, no, you're weird. You're not telling your story. No. Not everybody who says they have a spiritual story is somebody like I trust. Seriously. They may know Jesus and all that kind of stuff, but let's face it, they're just some weird people who operate in this stuff. Sometimes not weird in a good way. No, you're just freaking weird. So anyway, we've got some people, and wrong, by the way. So we've got some people who've got unique things that happen to them, and we're stringing them together on that series, Spirit Stories. Go to crossroads.com/podcast. You'll be able to check that out. Have an amazing weekend. And we'll see you next week.